temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 54 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And knocked down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's arch support experts. Hope everybody's doing well, ready for another good weekend. A little bit slower around this way, a little bit. You know, we've got a weekend off until Alabama plays. But that doesn't mean that they're slowing down. They kick back off their prep for Oklahoma, back to practice today officially, and things are underway. So we'll talk a little bit about that, a little bit of an early preview about the Oklahoma rematch, revenge game, whatever you want to call it. First round in the playoffs, we'll dive into that here on the show a little bit. We'll continue the talks about the coaching search for Michigan. A lot of, I guess a lot of things still pointing at Kalen DeBoer being a favorite for them, right? Definitely not mutual to my understanding, but we'll dive into some of the latest conversations regarding that whole deal. And is it true that Kalen DeBoer could be a target, right? Not saying that it happens or he has interest, but is he a target? We'll discuss that here in a little bit on this Free-for-All Friday. With it being a Free-for-All Friday, we'd love to hear from you guys. 205-342-9904, whatever is on y'all's mind. We'd love to discuss it. You can call in, talk to us right there on the phone lines, or you can always download that Tide 100.9 app. It's completely free. All you got to do is go to your Apple App Store, Google Play Store, whatever it is on your phone or tablet, download it, and that will give you the ability to listen to the shows wherever you're at, no matter if you're in the area, out of the area, in the country, or out of the country, you can do that. Plus, you can always leave app messages right there. I've got them pulled up on my email, so I'll refresh it throughout the show. That way, we stay on top of them. Plus, you can leave some voice messages if you guys want to do that as well. And we always urge you to check out our stream if you haven't already. If you prefer to watch us do the show live, you can always come over to our YouTube channel at The Miller's Edge. All we ask, you like the video, subscribe, all that good stuff. And yeah, you can watch me do the show, watch the things we pull up, the tape. We do that a lot on here. Plus, we'll bring cigars. We don't bring cigars on here. I just saw the ad on the stream. We bring up the interviews and the press conferences. So I believe there should be player availability today. So we had Nakai Hill Green on the show a couple of days ago, but there will be some interviews, so we'll probably play some of those from the players today as well. I was about to say, I don't think anything else crazy is going on other than some of the latest updates in terms of scheduling. We have the official 2026 schedule that has been released. Some people feeling like it's a little bit of a brutal schedule that that Alabama was dealt. Reed, now I don't know if you've checked it out or really have any big thoughts on it, but I'm trying to pull it up so I can put it on the screen for everybody. I know the biggest thing that people were concerned with regarding the 2026 schedule was the gauntlet that Alabama set to face. It's a three-game stretch, then a bye week, then you have LSU per usual. But what it was you had, I think it was Georgia, Tennessee, Texas A&M, bye week, then LSU. So I want to get y'all's thoughts on this schedule. You know what's interesting, guys? Because I heard Wyatt back there as well. When I first saw it, I personally didn't think it was as brutal as a lot of people were saying. To me, I almost felt that it looked manageable. And maybe just because I just kind of just glanced at it initially. But I see, and this is what it reads. First game, September 5th, you've got Eastern Carolina. You follow that up with Kentucky, and I probably should get it where these are. Oh, wait, it does tell you. I'm sorry. Home, you got your first game, September 5th, is home against Eastern Carolina. Then the next week, you go on the road to Kentucky. New coach there. They haven't been a good football team in quite some time. So, you know, first two games, you know, they are what they are. But you do have an SEC game week two. You've got Florida State, that matchup in Bryant-Denny Stadium, September 19th. We know how it went this past year. But listen, I don't know. Personally, I mean, I view that as, you know, look, it is what it is. I mean, they got the best of us this last time around. I'm not ready to put that as some game that, oh, man, some daunting game, right, just because we lost to them. And, in fact, they ended up being a pretty bad football team throughout the rest of the year, and they've got a lot of issues going on right now at Florida State. So I'm not really too concerned. Plus, you got them at home. And you've got South Carolina at home, which, you know, they normally play us pretty tough. You know, Shane Beamer does a good job of that program, but it's South Carolina. I mean, they're, you know, they're struggling themselves. Same with Mississippi State. Scrappy football team. They've been playing a lot better, but, you know, go on the road, play Mississippi State. You know, listen, you know, good competitive game, I'm sure, just because they're, you know, coming along, but you get the point. So that's your first five games. All right, cool. If I'm looking at this from my perspective, I would say good chance you start off 5-0. I think we all can agree there. Not saying it's easy, right? But I think we can agree on that. Then here's the gauntlet. You got Georgia, but you got them at home October 10th. Then you go on the road to Tennessee. We know what that's all about. Definitely a tough matchup, always playing in Knoxville. Then you come home and you face Texas A&M, who we know is a really good football team. You know, they've done a nice job, really only lost one game this year to Texas down the stretch. Probably should have or could have been in the SEC championship, but they fell to Texas, and we know how that went. We'll see how they end up finishing the year in the playoffs. Then you travel to LSU after the bye week. You know, so that's tough. So that's the big stretch. And then I guess Vanderbilt as well. Now you can throw them in there. Like, okay, that's going to be a tough game potentially. They're losing Pavia. We'll see how that looks. I mean, I really like their coach, Clark Lee. I think he does a really good job. But, you know, it's kind of to be determined. I mean, you know, anytime a team gets a whole new quarterback, especially when it's been a guy like Pavia who kind of was their whole system, I'm kind of pumping the brakes on them a little bit. I mean, I think they'll still be a good football team, but curious to see how they look post Pavia. Then you got Chattanooga and then Auburn at home. Personally, Reed, whoever's back there today, I can't help but look at that schedule. To me, I didn't necessarily think it was the hardest schedule we've had. And maybe that's me being naive. I do understand Georgia as a top five. If we're talking about right now, Georgia top five matchup, Texas A&M, where they end up coming in at, was like 7, I think, right behind Ole Miss, something like that. Tennessee, you know, it's a good program. Then LSU, who's, you know, now has Lane Kiffin in charge. So we'll see what they look like. What did you think, Reed, when you first saw that schedule? I mean, did you agree with some of the things that I was seeing online that, and I mean, a lot of people are a little concerned? Or were you like me and were kind of like, all right, I mean, if I could, you know, you got a tough stretch, but it's definitely manageable.
Well, actually, first, I was kind of on the side, you know, of, you know, October is going to be war, all right? You know, Georgia, Tennessee, A&M. But then I looked at how many games we have before that stretch, and that kind of gave me some confidence because it's more, compared to this season and previous season, it feels like it's more experience to go into those games kind of feeling like a complete team. And I feel like having that in the later half of the season kind of gives me some more hope and that we're just going to execute on better levels than we did, like, let's just say this season when we played the earlier slate of games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm curious y'all's thoughts on this. I mean, I got to go back and look and really think about it. But comparing this schedule from 2025 to the one that was just released for 2026, I mean, which one would you say is the more difficult schedule? It seemed like a lot of people leaned towards 2026, but, I mean, the schedule we had this year was, I mean, it was tough. You know, we saw...
Plus, Christian, you got to think, we don't start on the road this season as well. So I think that's another good thing, to get some footing at home against a team that, you know, respect to Eastern Carolina, but, you know, we're going to come out.
You don't
out,
think the, what are they, the rolling. Pirates? What are they, the Pirates or something like that? You don't think the Pirates are going to test us week one? Bryant Denny said, look, didn't they have a decent year a couple years ago? Maybe I'm thinking of something else. I feel like I remember seeing them, like for them, for decent for them. Not saying they're pulling like a Tulane and almost in the playoffs, but for some reason I feel like they were okay. I don't know what their record was this past year. I'll look into it. I didn't even have a chance to do that. I was trying to pull up our schedule to put them side by side real quick, but when you look at it from this year, Florida State to open things up on the road, like you said. I mean, that's always tough when you start off going on the road to – I know Florida State ended up being bad, but you get my point. I mean, that's, you know, it is what it is. ULM, Wisconsin, at Georgia versus Vanderbilt, who was ranked at the time, at Missouri, who was ranked at the time, versus Tennessee, who was ranked at the time, at South Carolina, was not ranked, but that was a tough game. But then you come back after the bye week, LSU, Oklahoma, you got the Eastern Illinois, then Auburn. I mean – I feel like they're similar in a sense. Look, the way I view this one is like you just said, Reed. I feel like you got the first five games, and again, I think South Carolina, Mississippi State, I'm not just writing those off, but they're let's be honest. I mean, they're at the lower part of the conference. Georgia, Tennessee, A&M, LSU, maybe a half point to Vanderbilt. Like, that stretch, cool, but then I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's a little similar to what we felt or what we dealt with this year. I don't know. I want to get y'all's thoughts. 205-342-9904 is the number. Plus, you can always drop into the YouTube chat or download that Tide 100.9 app. Let me know y'all's thoughts. Before we dive into a little bit of the coaching talk and the Oklahoma stuff, I wanted to throw that out there because that did just get released yesterday. I want to get y'all's thoughts, man. Is this upcoming schedule tougher, in y'all's opinion, right? Let me know. First, we had a timeout, then we'll come back and discuss it. Right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
Facebook, Andrew Conifer Agency. Once again, you can reach us at 205-722-9201. Allstate, are you in good hands?
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Your place for those premium art supports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it, they take care of it. Clinically proven to do so in just 4 short weeks. So make sure you guys check them out if you haven't already. Again, they're located right here in Tuscaloosa in Midtown Village, right off of McFarland Boulevard. But if you're not here, don't worry about it. They've got locations throughout the state of Alabama, Mobile, Birmingham. I want to say maybe Gadsden, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember the other two, but make sure you guys check them out if you haven't and go to their website, goodfeet.com. That way you can schedule an appointment, find the nearest location to you. Again, they are nationwide. That is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. We're talking about the 2026 schedule that was released yesterday. Alabama, I would say, I mean, it's definitely a tough schedule. We need to compare it to some of these other schools, but in my mind, I feel like it's manageable. I feel like you got to, you know, first 5 games, right? Very fair. Very fair. I think there's a good chance you can be 5-0. And you got this, you know, middle little gauntlet, like kind of like similar to what we had this past year. You take Georgia at home, go on the road to Tennessee, take Texas A&M at home, and then you have a bye week. Then you got LSU on the road, Vanderbilt on the road, Chattanooga and Auburn both at home. So to me, I personally feel like it's manageable. I think just get through the Georgia, Tennessee, A&M part, reset, and come out the bye week, then LSU and Vanderbilt on the road, Chattanooga at home, Auburn at home. I mean, to me, I think it's manageable for sure. But the question I got for you guys right now is, which schedule do you feel like is or will be more difficult when it's said and done, 25 or 26? I'm seeing what you guys are saying in the chat right now. I know Jake said 25 was tougher, 26, most of our tough games are at home. Ryan, he's alluding to Georgia and Texas A&M being the two most difficult games on the schedule, as of now at least, being at home, which I agree with him there. Zach says 26, there's only one bye week. That is something to note as well. That's definitely going to be different instead of having two. But, I'll be honest with you. I feel like majority of the time, in fact, we only had one bye week when I was playing here. Maybe I'm making that up. Maybe we always had two. I feel like sometimes we had two and sometimes we had one.
Christian, if you don't mind me asking, I was going to ask you, we're looking quite far ahead, but just your early thoughts on what game could potentially be seen as a quote-unquote trap game for the 2026 schedule?
Great question. And they gave me a chance to count this. We're officially underway with the 9-game SEC schedule, correct? I just want to make sure I'm good on that. I know we have 9 looking at it, but that's correct, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. So it looks like, do we know who is Kentucky considered the bonus one that we've gotten? Does that sound right?
I believe so, yeah. They didn't specifically say which bonus one. They just, of course, said our annual opponents being Mississippi State, Tennessee, yeah. Auburn.
But ironically, we ended up getting LSU anyway, which is nice. I know it's all going to rotate. It's all hard to keep up with. But, yeah, so, I mean, I guess, look, if you break it down, so, yes, we are in the official 9-game SEC schedule, which I'll be honest with you, seeing the way the committee is handling things, I worry that this 9-game scheduling might come back to bite us a little bit. Unfortunately, I know we were pushing to try to get some guarantees and some assurance that, hey, if we do go to a 9-game schedule, we're not going to have to worry about beating each other up and knocking each other off or out, I should say. And unfortunately, that's probably going to be the case until they fix some stuff with the committee, which could be coming soon. That said, UK, Kentucky is the added SEC game. I can live with that, honestly. I mean, basically replace Wisconsin with Kentucky. Yeah, I think it's probably pretty similar. Chapman says you had one bye week, Christian. Yeah, I was about to say, I feel like there's like one or two seasons we might have had two. I do remember that, but I think most of the time it was one. And I don't know what the difference was with the scheduling at that time, but I don't know. It's hard to say. Kenji says 25 feels more difficult. QD says 26 is tougher to me because of the Georgia, UT, and A&M games back to back to back. I mean, but to be fair, I mean, what about the 4-game stretch we went on this year? I mean, it looks different now that we look at it, but remember, at the time, I mean, those were ranked teams, and look at how we handled those games. I mean, if you look at it, you can say, all right, Georgia, we played solid on the road there. I know the second half, was what it was, but come out with the dub on the road there. Vanderbilt was a good football team, still is. I mean, they didn't make the playoffs, but they're right there on the cusp of it. At Missouri, I mean, Missouri, they really were solid. At the time, they definitely were good. I mean, we're talking about averaging like 300 yards rushing, and we went to Missouri, had a really good defense. We walk out of there with the win. Then Tennessee, I mean, beat them 37-20. Man, that was a good football team. So I feel like, it's definitely a tough stretch, but I think it's manageable. Yeah, I definitely think it's manageable. And I think the new standard is as long as you're – well, I shouldn't say that because I guess Vanderbilt got left out. And Texas was a 3-loss team, and BYU, but they're not comparable. I'm trying to think of any other I have to pull up the playoffs real quick, like the official rankings, I should say. That said, looking at this schedule, I feel like the strength of schedule, I don't know if that's already officially out. Probably not, because you probably have to wait on everybody else. But I would argue that Bama probably could afford to lose 2 losses again next year and still be okay in terms of the playoff hunt, given the schedule. And I'm assuming the strength of schedule is probably going to be up there. Because let's just hypothetically speaking, like, I would argue that preseason, and we'll know more once the playoffs, play out, but Georgia's A&M, those are going to be top 10 teams, going into next year. I would imagine Tennessee and LSU will probably be top 25 teams. And Vanderbilt, yeah, I mean, so it looks like going into the year, I would imagine maybe you have four, at least guaranteed 4, but maybe 5 top 25 teams on your schedule. So I feel like you've got some room to kind of have a similar. I think that's just a new standard in college football. It kind of is what it is at this point. To answer your question, Reed, which was, remind me one more time. I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank. You said a trap game.
Yes, trap game. Like, just kind of looking ahead, first initial thoughts, what is the trap game, quote unquote, for 2026?
What is the trap game? Well, I'll answer, then I want to get y'all's thoughts on this too. Again, 205-342-9904 is the number. We don't have any guests lined up for today, so we're open the whole way if you guys want to jump in on it. Trap game, let's see. I don't think Kentucky. I mean, South Carolina at home, Mississippi State. I think it would be between, off first glance, I would say maybe Mississippi State on the road. And the reason I say that is, I mean, they're, I know they fired their defensive coordinator. They're trying to make some changes there, but they've made some strides this year, right? I mean, I'm not saying they're great, but I mean, didn't they get like a top 25 win over, was it Arizona State at the time or something like that? And they played some and they played some close games. I mean, let me pull up their full schedule from, or not schedule, but God, can I just get the actual schedule here? No, not basketball. I'm always, but look, if I had to pick one, and I'll pull up their schedule here in a minute, I would probably say right now, Mississippi State would be my pick for a trap game. Just because I don't think Vanderbilt would really be considered a trap game because they're a much better team now. LSU, I mean, they're a good team, and they've got Lane Kiffin now. I mean, that I wouldn't really think that qualifies either. Then we clearly know Georgia through Texas and A&M. Like, that's not – or excuse me, Tennessee and Texas A&M. None of those. So I would say either between South Carolina and Mississippi State, and I probably would give the edge to Mississippi State. What about you, Jackson, before we hit this timeout?
Christian, I'm probably going to say Mississippi State as well. You know, I was talking to Wyatt, and he was saying how if when you get to that Mississippi State game, you know, you're traveling on the road, but you're already looking ahead to the Georgia game, you know. Right. And considering the fact the cowbells will be ringing, I just think that's one game to watch out for, especially with how hot Mississippi State started the season off this season. If they continue that, you know, if they would have continued that into SEC play, I think they could have been one to watch out for. Unfortunately, you know, their non-conference kind of was nothing compared to their SEC, which is kind of what we expected. But, yeah, if they keep that season opener rolling and continue it to the middle of the season and get their stride, that's one game to for sure watch out for.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it now. I mean, they definitely took their fair share of L's. They played Tennessee close, who was at the time – or is that now? No, that was at the time. Tennessee was ranked 15th at the time. They lost 41-34. I mean, they played them close. A&M wasn't great. Lost a close one to Florida. Lost a close one to Texas, 45-38. Narrowly escaped Arkansas. I remember that game. Lost by 20 to Georgia. Got beat down by 22 to Missouri. Then another double-digit loss to Ole Miss. But, yeah, I would probably say maybe Mississippi State. But I'm curious what y'all think on that. Schedule comparisons, then a trap game, man. We'll hit a timeout. When we come back, we'll keep discussing it. Plus, we'll start talking a little Oklahoma here in a minute and the latest with this whole Michigan deal and them having their sights on Kalen DeBoer. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Clinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation across the United States and from around the world. We're here for the rookies and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves. We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer. We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
Get your life back, baby.
Stephen Mezrano, Alabama Injury Lawyers. Mez wins.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. Trying to catch up on some of these chat messages right here in the YouTube comment section. Again, you can always come hang out with us on the stream here. Let's see. When Bama ran the ball versus Oklahoma, good things happened. Daniel Hill was eating. Roll Tide. We'll dive into that here in a minute. Now, I'll probably pull up that tape to kind of go back and watch some of the things that really transpired. We know the turnovers, but so I want to go back too and see what was, you know, working. What are the things that we did do well? Because I think sometimes, like, right when you're breaking down tape, and it's in a normal habits, which you should do. I've always been a firm believer. But you're always trying to, you know, find ways to get better, right, and eliminate errors. But sometimes you also need to go back and say, hey, what are we doing well? Like, what is working? Like, what do we need to do more of? And I feel like we haven't done enough of that when we do break down. I haven't when we're breaking it down. So maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll go back and look for the positives in the Oklahoma game and see what we can build off of. On top of my head, I remember, I mean, there's a lot of stuff underneath that we were taking advantage of. And I remember Quavis had a really big game where there was, like, you know, delayed tight end screens, you know, him, you know, underneath. I think we had they played a similar Georgia and Oklahoma. They played very similar, you know, top down, taking away the deep parts of the field, and basically forcing those check downs and flats. So we'll go back and watch that here in a minute. What else do we have in here? Zach says Mississippi State always hits when they play us. They just don't tackle. They're out to hurt us. Dang, you said they got like a I don't know, like some bounties on us, man. I mean, Coach Saban always said those guys, he low-key, like, sneaked this to me. It was like, Mississippi State's, like, filled with a bunch of guys that wanted to play here but didn't get the opportunity, and now they have, like, I don't know how you explain it, like, vengeance, or, like, they're, like, jealous or envy you guys. So, not a throw coach on the bus, but that was kind of how you described it when we played. And that's what, like, they're going to play us tough because they wanted to be in your shoes pretty much. In terms of the Notre Dame thing, I mean, like, do you guys really think it's all about money? That's the only thing that, personally, I'm sure that's part of the equation. And what I'm referring to is in the chat, we were talking about Notre Dame, and I was saying they just need to join a conference, give up the independence. But Tia and others were saying, well, they're not going to give up that money, because the way it works is if you do, what is it like making the playoffs and the conference splits all the money with all the other teams? But I mean, yeah, that's a lot of money they're receiving, I guess, if they make it. But I guess that's true. I don't know. Tia did submit an at message. Let's go ahead and do that. Let's start there with the at messages. Reed says he has it pulled up already. So, Reed, floor is yours.
Yeah, so this is from Tia. She left the at message saying, prior to the SEC championship game, Saban repeatedly talked about Ty leaving the home position to change plays. He stated, then other team is changing the defense, so that doesn't create any advantage for you by checking the play on offense. Can you break that down for us and break down why the offense would still think it serves as an advantage, and then break down Saban's point?
Okay, that's actually a really good talking point. We got a few minutes to dive into it real quick, and let me try to pull up an example while we're at it. Did he do it a lot in the Georgia game? I'm sure he did. I feel like he did a lot more in, like, the weeks prior. I mean, he's done it all year. I mean, we've been talking about that all year. Man, it's been so impressive how, you know, Ty can get guys in position, and I've even talked about it. And I think to an extent it does give you an advantage. Then at other times it definitely can be a disadvantage. So let's talk about the advantages of it and the disadvantages of it. The reason we're even able to do this now, the reason you hadn't really seen this a whole bunch in college football, is because before there was no helmet comms, right? Communications between players and coaches via their helmets. Now, remember, the rules state that you can have one player on offense and one player on defense. So that's going to be a quarterback and your Mike linebacker. They're going to have that helmet headset, and they're able to talk to, you know, their coordinator, their coach, for up to like the 15 second mark. Once you hit the 15 second mark, the comms shut off. So what are the advantages of that? Well, what happens is what they'll do, and what you'll see us do, I'll pull up an example. Really good question. It's a great, great thing to talk about. You'll see the fake clap. You'll see the hard count deal. And all that's doing is they're trying to see what the defense is in. That's why you see us, you'll see Ty do it all the time. The fake clap, hard count, and you'll see if they're bringing pressure, you'll see defenders, they'll start going up to the line of scrimmage. They stop. And then what do? They start looking to the sideline. They start communicating via the headset. And then the offense is going to say, all right, this is what they're showing. You know, they're showing safety blitz from the field, or oh, they're showing both backers are about to blitz A gaps, right? And so then we end up checking to say, all right, well, they showed this. We're going to get to this. It would work out great if it was like, all right, they didn't have enough. You know what I'm saying? If you kind of try to manage it where they didn't have that opportunity as well. But what Coach Saban is saying is, it really ends up being nullified, because you then check, and then what are they going to do? They're going to check. They're going to say, oh, they know we're about to blitz A-gaps. Oh, they know we're bringing a field sting. Oh, they know we're in man-to-man coverage right here. Let's go to a zone concept. So that's what Coach Saban is saying about there's no advantage, really. I would say this. I feel like yes and no. I mean, because granted, you don't know what they're checking to, and I'm sure they're checking to something different. Sometimes they actually don't check. Sometimes they fake check. If you guys haven't noticed, they'll fake check, then they end up running the same pattern or whatever they were doing or they showed initially. But I do think, like, offensively, it at least gives you an opportunity to get an idea on what they might do versus going into it. Like, I mean, you can always just still read your keys and say, all right, this is what they're showing or disguising without doing that. But personally, I definitely understand and respect what Coach Saban's saying, but I think there's been times that it actually has helped us, at least like earlier in the year. I mean, there's a reason I would bring that up, because it was evident. That's why all these people, you know, NFL pundits and whatnot watching Ty would compliment that, because those checks have had a lot of success, at least earlier on in the year. Now, as of recently, I think people or defenses, I should say, have started to also be ready to check the checks. But before, I feel like it was really working in our favor because, I mean, I remember watching fake snap, see what we're lined up in. We get a different call in, and we have success on that play. But, yes, as of recent, I feel like it hadn't been as much as an advantage because I just think defenses are a little bit more prepared to also go in and check things as well. What was the whole part of that question, Reed? I think there was like something else to it. Did I miss something?
No, I think it was just pretty much like you said. It was just breaking down on Saban's point about the home position. And he stated then other team is changing the defense so that doesn't create any advantage for you by checking the play on offense.
Yeah, so basically he's just saying like the fact that they also have the ability to check kind of nullifies that. Which he's definitely right, but I feel like there's still some ability to gain from that. Because remember, before it was all relying on just signals. Like people still did it; they still did the fake clap, and then they would look to the sideline. But it's a lot different when you literally have your coach in your ear saying, "Hey, they're in a cover two shell. We're getting this look. If they do this, be ready to do this." So like he can also start saying, "Like, hey, be ready to do this if they do this." Then it cuts off at the 15-second, and that's up to Ty to pursue things. Tia says, feel like we're doing so much that it gives them a chance to play chess with us more, which that's the other thing. I mean, again, they also have time to line up and get another thing and also play a little chess themselves. That's why I was saying sometimes they fake check. I mean, I've literally watched defenses start doing signals, acting like they're changing something. They literally go – they run the same, you know, blitz, pressure, whatever – that they initially showed. So at the end of the day, I mean, that's football in itself, man. I mean, football is always going to be that. I will say this, though. I think sometimes we take way too much time trying to get plays going. We take way too many timeouts because we're trying to get the perfect thing. And I think at some point, man, you just got to read what you're seeing and say, all right, man, look, they're showing a, you know, a too high shell here. You know, we're motioning here to you know, basically, you know, find out if they're a man or zone or not. We got it. Boom. Let's just do something. I think sometimes we do a little too much. I do agree with that. But, I mean, I think there's still an opportunity to gain a little bit from the checks. But you're right. Defenses have definitely started doing it themselves. And I think you're starting to pick up on that more on this back half of the season. We got to hit a timeout to stay on schedule. When we come back, we keep on rolling. We got more to talk about. We'll talk a little bit more about the Oklahoma game. And I'm going to go ahead and pull up this tape, and we can probably see both those things. A little bit of Oklahoma and what Tia was asking about in that app message about the pre-snap adjustments and all that good stuff. When we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230.
Lineup offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are Heat, Hammage Rack and Reel, Cypress Supply, Banks and Company of Hardware, Stephen Fikes Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A pleasant afternoon, mostly sunny, the high 61. Fair tonight, the low 41. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, maybe a little light rain tomorrow night, the high 62. We go into the deep freeze on Sunday, windy, with temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 58 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
And welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Some, I guess, potentially breaking news is breaking to me, at least. Reed just shared it with us. It's an update on former Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore. He has now been charged with home invasion in the third degree, stalking, and breaking and entering. Yes, this is breaking news. I see it 1 minute ago via Yahoo Sports. So, yeah, It's just a sad situation all around, man. Honestly, it's just very unfortunate. I mean, so many people affected in this, and it's unfortunate, man. Moore was detained by police in Saline, Michigan, hours after he was fired. So we knew that part, but it sounds like they've now officially charged him with these things. Now, I don't know what those charges entail in terms of sentencing, if you know, he's proven guilty with that stuff, but I mean, this guy went from literally being the head coach of the University of Michigan. Somebody left a comment when I posted, you know, a clip of us talking about it. I referenced Michigan as a reputable program. What I meant by that, and maybe that's the wrong word to use, I meant like outside of all the controversy and stuff that they've had. I mean, the University of Michigan, I forgot who was talking about it. It might have been on ESPN or something. Saying like, you know, you got Penn State, but you'd argue that Michigan's probably even higher in terms of resources and stuff. Like, hell, the team just won a national championship like, what, 2-3 years ago? And it's Michigan. That's what I meant. Not reputable in the sense that I understand their reputation is pretty bad at this point. Not just from the Connor Stallions thing, but I mean, they've had staffers charged with a number. I mean, they've had some bad stuff going on recently. I understand that, but I meant like the, you know, the school and the history outside of what's been going on. Anyway, looks like even more negative news
Christian,
coming out.
For that not program. To stay on Go this, ahead, but I was kind of curious just from, because you've gone through that whole recruiting process, and now I'm seeing all these Michigan commits request out of their like official signing and all this. How would like, mm-hmm. just because like I said, you've been through this, how would that kind of affect you if you found out the school that you were going to, you heard this about your head coach, what would kind of be going through your head in that kind of just because I want to hear your kind of opinion on it.
Yeah, great question. I'm immediately trying to see what are the next steps. But first, I would have I'm not going to lie. I read something, and if it's true, it would probably affect how I'm, you know, my trust level with these coaches and this, like the people over at Michigan. And it's that allegedly, and I think Josh Pate might have said this, again, if I'm, you know, spreading false information. I'm just going off of what I read or heard. Allegedly, they had been investigating this and had at least an idea that this had been going on. Because I think the stalking part, like, to my knowledge, I thought like all this transpired just immediately after, which majority of it did. But allegedly, like the stalking part of it, I think may have been going on. And so I think Josh Pate made a comment that they knew about a lot of this and had planned on acting on it, but allegedly they were waiting until after signing day to move forward with it. And if that was the case, and if I'm a recruit, that would kill trust that I had with them, because that to me is, that's deception. That's saying, hey, you intentionally waited to take action on a very serious matter just so we would sign and you guys would still, you know, maintain the signing class, which, let's just be fair. I mean, I know it's a business. I'm not saying I agree with it. I don't agree with it. I want to be clear. I don't agree with them doing that because it's not fair to the kids at all. But it makes sense on their part because they don't want it to, it's already going to be a dumpster fire. The last thing they want to do is lose all the guys in the recruiting class, all the guys they probably invested in. Think about it with NIL. So, I mean, I don't even like saying like it makes sense on their end, but I'm not surprised, I should say. I'm not surprised Michigan would do that if they did that. But to answer your question, Reed, if it was me, my trust would probably be out the window with all that going on. And I probably would be, you know, trying to follow through with that as well and considering moving forward. However, if they came to me or they were very upfront, they were very transparent, they were honest and said, hey, you know, this is the situation. This is how we're handling it. This is who we're targeting. I would definitely probably give them a chance, especially if it was a program that I really wanted to attend. I don't even want to use Alabama as an example because but just say like Georgia was my second school. We can use Georgia as an example. I really like Georgia. And say I didn't sign here and I plan on going to Georgia and I, you know, really wanted to go play there, not just for the coach, but man, I loved the history there and man, they're having success and I felt confident about, you know, what they could do for me and my career and whatnot. And something like that happened. I mean, if I really wanted to play for that program, I definitely would hear them out. But if it was something where it was like, man, I wanted to go there for a coach, you know, the perspective of playing with some of these other guys, whatever the case may be, I'm probably gonna look elsewhere, which I'm sure most of these guys probably are, because it's getting messy at this point. And let's face it, a lot of times, man, guys go to school, they choose schools for coaches. They tell you not to do that. They always tell you in recruiting, do not make a decision based on a coach, but make it based on the school. Because you never know what can happen with coaches. You look at, if a guy committed to Ole Miss to play for Lane Kiffin, boom, he's in LSU now. If a guy committed to play for, you know, whoever, you know, Hugh Freeze at Auburn, he got fired midseason. You know what I mean? Like things are going to happen. So they always tell you don't do that. But the reality is most guys do. But that's why you have to, like for example, like I committed to Alabama because not only Coach Saban, but also like the history here. I felt Coach Cochran could develop me in terms of, you know, physically, definitely, you know, mentally as well, but physically helped me get bigger, stronger. I wanted to be like that type of guy. And sure enough, that's what happened. By the time I left here, I mean, I was a much different player than I came in as. But yeah, you just got to be careful going. And I don't know. I mean, Michigan is interesting. I don't know if these guys are, you know, big fans of his, or as you say, it's Michigan. They got a lot of NIL money. It's interesting, but I guess it depends on the player. But good question. Definitely a bad situation going on there. So we'll stay up to date with that. But first, we got to hit this top of the hour timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. I'm going to get this tape pulled up because I really want to follow up on Tia's whole deal about the checking, that we can actually watch it in real time, see how the defense responds. And if we do have a true advantage, we'll pull up the tape like we always do right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Art Support Experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Atlanta Falcons, who were 4-9, got a comeback victory at Tampa Bay Thursday night, 29-28, on a field goal on the final play. A win despite 19 penalties by the Falcons in the game. Kyle Pitts finished with 3 touchdown receptions. He had 11 catches, 166 yards. Atlanta had trailed 28-14 with 10 minutes left. The AP's College Player of the Year is quarterback Fernando Mendoza of number 1 Indiana. The NBA's late game went to Denver and a laugher at Sacramento, 136-105, 36 points for Nikola Jokic. New Orleans ended a 7-game losing streak, ripping Portland 143-120. Milwaukee beat Boston 116-101, 31 points for Kyle Kuzma.
To $40 of Macy's money per purchase to spend on anything in the store. But it's happening now, only at Macy's One Day Sale. Savings off select styles. Exclusions apply.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with 4-time SEC champion and 2-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And we're back. Free for all Friday edition. This is Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arts Support Experts. All right. Again, it's free for all Friday. So if you're wondering why we're jumping all around and hitting a bunch of numbers, that's what a free for all Friday is, man. We're just hanging out. We'll dive into a little bit of this Oklahoma conversation here in a minute as well. I was trying to get this. I really wanted to get this tape pulled up. We're going to have to find a different game instead of the Oklahoma one, unfortunately, because I don't have the Alabama offense versus Oklahoma, but I'm convinced now to see if we can find the whole deal with Ty Simpson and the checks, right? I want to do some investigating real quick, man. I feel like putting my investigative hat on and trying to figure out we can find some more stuff out. In the meantime, though, while I pull some of that up, hey, Reed, you said we have one more app message to hit real quick. Is there any way you can read that for us, and we'll kick off hour number 2 with that?
Of course, yeah. It's from Pop and Lynette. It says, counting the quarterbacks Bama has just signed, I believe Alabama will have potentially 5 quarterbacks on next season's team. Do you think their decision to all stay depends on Ty's decision to stay or not? That's Pop from Lynette.
Mm. Let's talk about it. That was another thing I wanted to hit at some point. And I'm glad he brought up things. Pop, here, I'll say this. I have the itch that Ty Simpson's coming back. I really do. I feel like Ty Simpson's probably going to end up coming back to school. I know we talked about it in a lot of NFL, you know, scouts and people. I mean, a lot of the draft experts talking about Ty maybe being a potential number one. And that was about 5 or 6 weeks ago. But you guys got to remember, things are fluid, right? I'm not saying they change that quick. I mean, there's a lot of guys that don't play great, and then they still get, you know, picked in a good spot. But one of Ty's biggest, I don't want to use the word knock, I feel like it's very strong in this context, but I would say one of his biggest, I guess, flaws, and from a draft perspective, was always going to be, for this year, the lack of experience. It comes up with any quarterback that has very limited experience. That's one of the major things that they always bring up. Hey, this guy, he's only started X amount of games. Is he ready to make that next step to the National Football League? Does that mean people would, you know, just run away from drafting him? Heck no. But that typically is viewed as a negative. And at the end of the day, what these teams and draft personnel do is exactly what Coach Saban has always said. They're looking for the butts, right? And I'm not talking about the rear end here. I'm talking about the B-U-T. Hey, he's a great player, but, you know, he can get after the quarterback. He can rush the passer, but he doesn't set the edge great. Oh man, he has a great deep ball, but, you know, he's has bad feet in the pocket and he doesn't make good decisions. So they're always looking for the buts, and that's always going to be one thing with Ty. I think the way he was playing through the middle part of the season was allowing people to kind of say, hey man, hey, he's got limited experience, but look at this guy. Speaking of the checks, hey, this guy's got command of this offense. He's up there. He's making NFL-type checks. He's making NFL-type throws. He's hitting those cover two hole shots. He's attacking the deep part of the field better than any quarterback in the country. Now, the last 5 weeks or last five games, we've seen him. I haven't seen that same Ty Simpson. That's not to say they don't have confidence that he can be the next great quarter, but another, you know, good NFL draft prospect, a good NFL quarterback. No, but what that started signaling was, you know, maybe this guy ain't as ready as we initially thought he was. And what follows that is, we think he should probably return to school for another year. People have started to say it, and you're going to continue to hear these people say it. That's kind of how this thing works. That said, I had said from the jump, if Ty needed to come back to school, I don't think that ever would have been a problem in his mind. And I still don't think that's, I mean, I still don't think it's a problem. If anything, he gives me the impression of a guy that would want to come back to school. I could totally see him saying, we have unfinished business. We want to compete for national championships. And when I came to Alabama, I came here to compete for championships, and I don't want to leave without, I can totally see that being the deal. And then him coming back to school. Now, say we win in that. Say he gets into this playoff and he makes a run and he's playing his ass off and he returns to form and we go win us a natty. I would not be shocked if he goes, all right, you know, probably going to consider leaving. Because I think right now they have him as like QB 3, 4, depending on what board or who you ask, what expert. But obviously, if he goes and plays in the playoffs against good teams, or I mean, Oklahoma, really good defense, say he balls out in that game, you then go on to play Indiana, who's got another really good defense, say he balls out there, and like I said, enough to where he feels content with his career here, then I could see him leaving. If not, which again, I'm not trying to sound like a Debbie Downer, but I mean, that's like a perfect world. Like, we haven't seen that type of play in 5 or 6 games, it feels like. So I think that's a little bit of a long shot. That's why I'm starting to feel he does come back. Back to the question of Pop. We signed 2 quarterbacks this class. We've got 3 scholarships right now with Ty, Austin Mack, and Keelan. So that's where he's getting the number 5 from. I think if one of the quarterbacks were to leave, so let's say Ty comes back. If I had to choose one that would leave, I would probably lean Austin Mack. I know that's Grubbin and DeBoer's guy. He came from Washington, but you have to think about it this way. He's on a time crunch. He's got a play clock going, right? Because this is his 3rd year currently. When he comes back next year, I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this is his 3rd season of college football because he was young. He left early. Next year would be a 4th year. So he would be risking and not necessarily risking. Typically, if a fifth-year senior comes back to school, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the writing's on the wall. It's not like they're just going to have a quarterback battle. He could end up being elevated if that guy that comes back does not play well, which we see that all the time. But it's not like, hey, Ty comes back, oh, we're back in an active quarterback battle. They might try to make it seem like that, but normally that guy is understood to be like the guy. It's like his job to lose pretty much. So personally, if I had to pick one of those guys, I would probably assume it would be him. I think regardless, you end up with four scholarship quarterbacks next season. I don't see all five being there, and I could be wrong. I just personally don't see that. I think Keelan Russell would hang around, though. I mean, you got to think, he's still young. Does he qualify for a red shirt? Reed, do you know that answer? I feel like he's still within the limits. I don't think he played in enough games, because then the playoffs don't count if the rules are still the same.
I don't exactly know, but yeah, I think it's you have to play in less than, I believe it's like four or five games.
You get up to four games, and I think the playoffs are, they don't matter. So let's just think about, I mean, so he didn't play in Florida State. He played in, wait, Drew says yes. So that means he is redshirt eligible. Oh, yeah. Which I'm pretty sure they anticipated redshirting him. If they did it, that would have been, I hate to say it, would have been dumb. He only played in two. Yeah, I was about to say, I couldn't even count three. So I was like, there's no way so he's redshirt eligible. I think he would be okay staying and waiting. Because I think what would happen, yeah, thank you guys. All right, perfect. Personally, I think if one were to leave, it would be Mac. Only because, like I mentioned, the time crunch. So I'll be honest with you. And this might be contrary to what most people are kind of thinking, but if, like, and I know some people are like, oh, no, we want to be ready to take on Keelan. I wouldn't be mad if Ty came back at all, because I look at it like this. So if you can secure that Keelan's confident that, you know, him staying here is the right move and all that stuff, I would not be mad at that at all. Because then you have a veteran quarterback coming back who has shown what he can do. I know people are like, oh, but he can't throw the deep ball. If Ty comes back, he's going to be a much better, more consistent football player going into next year. You can stamp that. I mean, I don't see a world where he regresses going into another year of him coming. I just don't. Not saying it can't happen, but I just don't think that happens. And if you ask me, what would you rather have? As talented as Keelan is, I know development is important. And I've seen all these guys, like, in person, you know, a lot. As talented as Keelan is, even if you try to throw him out there right now, I know you guys have seen him, and you're like, man, but look what he did. You got to remember who he was going against, man. Like, if you put him in some of these, you know, big moments right now, he's in terms of development, as talented as he is, he's not quite there just yet. He can make throws and stuff, but we're talking about decision making, and you're talking about being able to understand what defenses are doing and all that. I mean, it's a lot. And if I'm just being honest with you right now, I mean, on a practice level, you know, you get all those great throws, but then you also see some rookie mistakes, freshman mistakes, that lead to, you know, a number of turnovers, right? Which is normal, totally expected. So that's the whole dilemma that you've got. I think regardless, you're going to be okay. You know what I mean? Whether it's Ty that comes back, whether it's Keelan, who I think is going to be in a much better position going into the next year, given the experience that he's gained. And if Austin Mack's here, I like him too. I think he's on it. In that last game where they all played, I thought he honestly probably played the best at all three. I just don't think you can, I don't know, unless he's just one of those guys where he's like, man, I'll risk sitting here one more year than knowing my last year of eligibility, I'll compete. But then he's also in the back of his head going to know, well, Keelan's still here, so I got to compete with him. It's not guaranteed. That's why I would lean towards Austin Mack maybe going elsewhere. But I don't know. Those are just my thoughts. But I'm curious to know what you guys think. Reed, I mean, what do you think? First, we hit this timeout, then we'll go to the people when we come back. Do you see us having all five quarterbacks next year? Do you see Ty coming back? Do you see him leaving? Who do you think? How do you think it plays out, Reed, in your mind?
Well, Christian, I think you pretty much took all the words out of my mouth. I think I was going to say, you know, I think early on in the season, I was like, hey, if Ty keeps trending the way he is, he's going to go to the NFL draft. Not to say that he's fell into a deep slump, but, you know, it's I feel like part of it is the inexperience of the starting, you know, and that is going to, like you pointed out, and it's something I specifically remember is Coach Chabon, you mentioned it before, it's that but, you know, he's doing this good, but there's the inexperience, you know, and so yeah. I think he will come back. Like I said earlier in the season, I didn't think so, but I think he will, and I think once again, like you mentioned, the time crunch for Austin Mack is going to force him to go elsewhere. And because he's going to want to, I at least feel like he's going to want to be the starter somewhere and up his stock, you know, because I'd kind of be concerned if he did come back, like stay, and it's like, all right, I've got 1 year, and what if just say that 1 year wasn't his best performance, you know, you're out of eligibility then, you know? So it'd give you more options, I feel like.
And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he has another year than I thought. For some reason, I was thinking, is he a true sophomore or is he a redshirt sophomore? I guess wouldn't really – wait, would that even matter at this point? Regardless of what – wait, so right now, how many years does he have left, I guess, is the question. Austin Mack, does he have, what, 2 years of eligibility left? I think that's right. So he has 2 years of eligibility left. I think that's the main question. With 2 years of eligibility left, if he stays, then that would put him – if he doesn't win, then he's got one last year. I mean, I could see a world – like, listen, if – yeah, I think he's got 2 years left. I don't know. I just know, too, man. Think about all the teams going to, that will be calling his name, too, now that they've seen him get some action, right, in, several games this year. I mean, as recent as the Illinois game, and he looks smooth. And you're telling me a team that needs a quarterback is not going to be willing to call a guy that's 6'6", 235 pounds, that has nice, you know, can throw the ball nicely. He scrambled in Eastern Illinois displaying that athleticism that some people weren't really, you know, aware that he had. He's going to get some calls. So, I don't know. Interesting, man. I'm curious y'all's thoughts. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Interesting video we found on Twitter. We got to get to this. Could Kalen DeBoer be in a Michigan, I guess, hoodie at some point? According to this guy in this video, he thinks it's a good possibility. I'm not buying it, but I'll let you guys listen and come up with your own conclusions when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC
has won grand prize winners for $2,600 in cash. Join the celebration and toast to new beginnings and big wins at Pearl River Resort. Must be 21 or older to play.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A pleasant afternoon, mostly sunny, the high 61. Fair tonight, the low 41. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, maybe a little light rain tomorrow night, the high 62. We go into the deep freeze on Sunday, windy with temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 60 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got a question from Pop on the app inbox, man, and he asked about the quarterback situation. Do we feel like we'll have all five quarterbacks on the roster in 2026? We talked a little bit about 2026 with the new schedule. Again, that was released yesterday. I'll put it back on the screen if you guys haven't seen it here in a second. But I want to read y'all's responses to that, because that was another question that I had in terms of the whole quarterback deal. Do you guys think Ty comes back? Do you think he should come back? And what happens if he does come back? So thanks, Pop, for getting that conversation started. Let's see what you guys had to say about that. Jake says, the only reason Ty should come back is to improve his draft stock. The only problem is that his draft stock isn't going to be higher next year. He's quarterback three, depending on where you look. He'll be where he'll be there next year. Let's pull up. So Jake thinks he should leave. Let's pull up a draft board real quick. I think CBS already has, you know, their top prospects and stuff. So let's pull up this and see where he's at in the most recent ones. I like going off CBS. I mean, if you guys have another one that you think would be better, maybe let me know. But let's pull up quarterbacks. So for quarterbacks, CBS has Ty as, why is it not letting me do that? Wait, maybe I need to click no on that first. Nope, not working. I'll just share it with you. All right, so we can just manually do it. So the first quarterback I see on the top board, they still have Ty Simpson as the number one quarterback. They've got him as the number 12 prospect. I just was watching something that said they had him as, like, quarterback three, I think, behind who do they have him behind? I think it was Oregon's quarterback. Who was it? Was it Mendoza? I think it was Mendoza, Oregon's quarterback. I don't know. Who else was it, guys? Do you guys know? I don't know. CBS has a message. This is my thing, because I didn't really answer this question. I think it would benefit, like, should Ty come back? Let me respond to my own question real quick, because I don't think I hit this. Should Ty come back? I think it would benefit him from a developmental standpoint. I just know the transition to the NFL, especially as a quarterback. No, I did not play quarterback, but I've witnessed it. I know quarterbacks have made it. It's not an easy transition. And depending on your situation, the organization you end up with, where you're drafted at, and what those expectations are. I mean, like, it can go a number of different ways. And I just feel like personally he could benefit from another year of college football. Because, again, this is his first year fully starting. And one of his biggest flaws, and I brought this up back 2 years ago when he was competing with Milroe for the first time. Ty can kind of get in his head, and then, you know, the whole snowball effect, and, you know, it can kind of just lead to more negative plays, right? One play can lead to more negative plays. That said, you can't have that mentality in the NFL, especially, brother, when you're playing against NFL defenses. I mean, you think Oklahoma and Georgia are good defenses. I mean, you got 32 of those guys, maybe 30, 31, because sometimes you just got a bad team. You got like 30 of those. You know what I mean? You're talking about guys, I mean, elite play recognition, elite disguise, pre-snap, post-snap, guys jumping around. I mean, like, go back. I mean, Bryce, I know Bryce didn't have much help, but just remember Bryce. Bryce playing good football now, but he's going on, what, year three, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's an adjustment. So I don't think it would hurt him to come back. Now, if he ends up being, which I don't think this is accurate, they've got Ty still as the number one quarterback, then I see Dante Moore right behind him. Oh, no. Guys, I'm not even paying attention. They got him as a two. Sorry, thank you. Somebody in the chat said that. They got Mendoza. How did I not see that? Mendoza as one, but they still have Ty two. And this is according to CBS, who I feel like is, you know, one of the more reputable draft, I guess, sites or information. You get what I'm saying?
Do you see Mendoza as, like, in your eyes, as a viable NFL quarterback to take that number one overall pick spot?
Listen, to answer your question, Reed, I mean, he's a good quarterback. I watched him play Ohio State, man. He had himself some throws. He's a very odd guy in his interviews, but there's no denying the talent, man. He can play some football. Do I think it's, you know, worth taking it to that one spot? I mean, I always go off of what team needs. Who's got the, as of now, who do they have as the number one pick? Do you know? Is it New York? Is it the Jets? No? Wait, who would have the number one? I don't even know who is slated to have the number. I'll be honest, I haven't paid much attention to the draft stuff.
Yeah, Christian, right now it's the Giants with the first overall pick, but then right behind them is the Raiders. Which, me being a Raiders fan, I know we need a quarterback.
Well, you
could also see the Jets climb up there as well.
I was about to say, I know the Jets have been talking about taking a quarterback for sure. So I'll say this. I mean, I think Mendoza, listen, if I'm somebody looking at him like from a scout perspective, I mean, he's got the measurables. He's 6'5". He's 225. I mean, he led his team to being the number one seed into playoffs this season. I mean, the play from behind game that he had early on in the year, that drive, I mean the guy has shown qualities that you look for in a quarterback in terms of some of those intangibles. I mean, he's clearly a very smart guy, just listening to him in his interviews. I mean, he's a little interesting, but to me, he kind of reminds me like Andrew Luck kind of vibe, maybe. More same, like, from like an intellectual standpoint. But no, I think he would be worth the top pick for sure. I've always said this, though. I mean, with quarterbacks, at the end of the day, you'll see 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. How many actually end up panning out to being the quarterbacks that every, like, when they're coming out, everybody talks about, oh, he's the next Tom Brady. He's the next Drew Brees. He's the next Patrick Mahomes. He's the next Josh Allen. And majority of the time, listen, the NFL is hard. I don't think people understand. Like, you're talking about the elite of the elite, and there's only so many, you know, so many spots, you know. That said, yeah, no, I think Mendoza's a really good quarterback. Ty's good. I feel like this quarterback class right now might be a little, I mean, that's something Ty should probably consider too. Because I would argue, I think next year's quarterback class is supposed to be a little deeper. Am I right on that? Is that?
Yeah, no, you're right. Because this class is, in my opinion, one of the weakest we've had in a while. Yeah. Next year you'll have Arch, you'll have Gunner if he goes out. Mm-hmm. You'll have, let's see, you'll have Sayin. You'll have a plethora of other guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, like, looking at this right here, I mean, you got Mendoza, Simpson, Dante Moore, Josh Hoover, and John Mateer, which, I mean, if John Mateer is the...
I think he stays for another year.
Yeah, I was about to, but my point, Jackson, is if he's your fifth ranked quarterback right now, and I think he's a good player. However, the way he's playing right now, you're telling me they have him as the fifth ranked quarterback. It might be best. I mean, maybe I'll just answer my own question. I mean, maybe Ty should consider leaving, because this is one of those quarterback classes where, I mean, like, even though he's kind of going through a slump, look at the rest of the group. I mean, I would probably right now have it Mendoza, Dante more than Ty, which I think other people have like that. That's kind of what I think. A lot of other people probably viewing that. I don't know. Yeah, I just think right now. Brian over on Facebook says he should go to the NFL. Milroe came back and it didn't help his stock and limited Ty in development. It's going to be interesting. He's definitely going to have a interesting decision. It's like, on one hand, come back to school, develop more. I think it'll be a little, I think Ty will benefit if he does come back. And I don't think it would, I think it would probably be good for this football team and to have a seasoned quarterback. That's just my opinion. But I think from a personal standpoint, he's got to, you know, come up with that decision. Especially looking at the quarterback class, it might be might be the right move, man. He can just sit back and especially if he goes in. I don't think he needs to go in a position where they need him, like, to be that guy right now. The problem is when you're the second or third quarterback taken, you're kind of, especially the first round quarterback most of the time. I just think it would help him to have a year or so to develop once he gets to the NFL, personally. Just because he had such limited experience in college. I don't think that would be ideal, but who knows? Let's do this. Let's hit a timeout. We come back. We keep rolling. I know we've got that clip to play and a couple other things we want to dive into, so we'll do that after this quick timeout right here on the Miller's Edge. Ty 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light.
Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs, Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast.
On 95.3 The Bear.
And learn another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Ty 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's arts support experts. That's another good point. Thanks to G-Bama, man. I forgot, we didn't mention this, the Heisman finalists. It's a free-for-all Friday. When I say free-for-all, we literally are like free-falling from topic to topic. We also got Smitty on the phone line. So while I pull some of that up, let's go to Smitty. Let's get him on here. 205-342-9904. We got Smitty up next. Smitty, welcome in.
How's it going, Christian?
Man, I can't complain, bro. It's a Friday, man. How are you?
I'm a Bucks fan. That's all I got to say. The Panthers
Hold on. You're an Alabama fan, a Bucks fan, but you live in Arizona. Smitty, what we got going on here, brother?
Right, I was born and raised in Montgomery, Alabama, and I joined the Air Force.
So where's Tampa Bay coming in from?
Oh, when I was a kid, right, I'm aging myself here. Your dad knows about this game, Tecmo Super Bowl. It plus one of the earlier Maddens. I said, I'm going to play with the sorriest team and make the Super Bowl. And I picked the Bucks. They were horrible. Your dad would tell you how horrible they were. So I got to know some of the players, and I became attached. But then again, who else am I supposed to pull for? The Atlanta Falcons?
They just beat last night.
What about this? Or, I mean, like the Saints. I mean, they're a lot of, I feel like a lot of folks from Alabama are Saints fans. They've won a Super Bowl with Drew Brees.
Yeah, they stunk then, too. But, you know, it's just like, hey, I grew up a Bulls fan because we had WGN. It was either the Bulls or Michael Jordan, the Bulls or the Atlanta Hawks. That was not a terrible, it's not a hard choice. We're a national embarrassment now. But, but as, hey, you got to stick with it, you know. You're talking about, like, Ty, right? Here's the thing I think people miss. You don't really up your stock. You could hurt your stock. And I got a couple of names for you. Matt Barkley was going to be a first-round pick. Stayed at school, talking about winning the championship. He was a fifth-round pick. I don't even think he's in the NFL now. He was a journeyman. Garrett Nussmeier was supposed to be, at worst, a day-two pick. Stayed at school. Where he going to get drafted at? So I think if you're a second-round pick, you get the heck up out of there. And what people don't get also is, and what Kalen DeBoer just gift him a job or say, hey, it's open because what these other guys improved so much. That's another sticky point also. But if Ty comes back, I think Austin Mack has to go because he only has so much time left.
Right. Yeah, and I looked at it. So 2 years remaining, he's got. I can't remember if he's a true sophomore, redshirt, doesn't matter. He's got 2 years remaining. Okay, that's what I thought. So he's got 2 years remaining. That's just to me, that just makes sense. I mean, it's unfortunate because, I mean, I think he's a damn good player. You know, like he's definitely grown on me. The reason I say grown on me because at first, like when I used to go out and watch practice, like, he was definitely a little inconsistent. You know, you see some dirt balls, but then you see a great ball, and it just kind of was a little over the place. But, I mean, he's developed really nicely. And I think seeing him over the last, you know, few weeks or slash, you know, especially Eastern Illinois' most recent game, I thought he played the best out of all three. And I can only imagine, man, hey, you got a guy like that with 2 more years of eligibility, I think he could end up being a really good football player. But it's like you got so many different routes you can go. It's tough. I guess that's a good problem to have, though.
Yeah, and the reason that I say Ty should go because he has a flaw. And staying in school ain't going to fix this. He's always been a little jittery in the pocket because I always go back to Mercer. There was no pressure. He's just jittery. And to me, there are certain things where you are or you aren't. And I think that if you're jittery in the pocket, if your emotions, if you carry that on your sleeve, because as a quarterback, you're the leader of the team. And I remember Nick Saban always said, don't get too high, don't get too low. And you see that. And the best example I can use is Bryce Young. That his first year at Alabama, he didn't have a good offensive line. He didn't have, like, the rideouts. He didn't have this great offensive line because I think Damian George gave him another sack on the right side against Auburn. But if you look at his face, you wouldn't know if he was stressed out. And I believe that you are the leader of the team as a quarterback. In the NFL, you are the face of the company. You are the CEO. And I think that, I don't know if you guys see a sports psychiatrist, but I just think that you can't have that because if you're emotional like that, it's going to translate in your play. And I don't know how you can fix that, but I just believe, and I'm not knocking him as a person. I'm just saying maybe he is what he is with that trait, you know?
Well, I mean, I think you can always try to improve on things. I think he can work. I mean, listen, there's a lot of people that, and actually sports psychologists and having like those guys around, like Dr. Brett McCabe is the guy that our university works closely with, not just with football, with all sports. He does a phenomenal job, by the way. He works a lot of, you know, golfers, but he also spends a lot of time with our athletes. And, you know, I think you can definitely work on some of that stuff, but I do feel like, yeah, Ty's kind of always been a little bit more. Like Bryce Young had the luxury of having a dad who's like a psychologist slash psychiatrist. I can't remember what his role is, but I mean Bryce's dad was that. So I mean he literally is gonna be about as smooth as butter in terms of being able to handle big moments and, you know, staying in the moment and stuff like that. But I hear what you're saying. I mean, listen, I still think him coming back I know what you're right. It is a risk. I mean, you gave some great examples. You're not wrong. I just view him as like knowing who Ty is and his work ethic and how he attacks things. Like, I think he would see a benefit if he decided to come back. So I do think it would probably work out. There would be a better chance it would work out in the positive manner than the negative for him. But you're right. You never know, though. I also think of it like this after seeing, we just looked at that list of quarterbacks. I think sometimes you got to strike while the iron's hot. And I know his iron hadn't been very hot the last few games, but looking at the quarterback group for this year compared to next year, that's something to consider too. And if you're hearing people say, hey, yeah, you know, he had a little bit of a slump towards the end of the year, but we still got him as quarterback two or even three, and he's projected to be even a mid first round pick, I feel like that's your sign to go, personally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think,
you know, I think
it's
also?
Well, because think about this. If you're a mid round pick, I mean, yes, there is a big gap. I mean, you're talking about maybe, you know, if you're a top five pick, I mean, to like the mid rounds, I mean, that could be a gap of up to $8 to $10 million. But, I mean, you're also risking, if you do go from mid round to late second slash early third, that's also a big jump too. So, and I hate to say this, but I would argue with the quarterback class the following year, I don't know how much room there is to move up into being like a top five pick with the guys we're looking at on that list. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah. And one thing about this Kalen DeBoer stuff, right? First things first, I feel sorry for Sherrone Moore's wife and kids. You know, I feel sorry for them. I don't feel sorry for him and the side chick. I really don't. Because there ain't no mistake, there's choices. And all he had to do was just take that butt chewing from the wife and get a hotel. He may be able to salvage his career. Now he's cooked. You know, but I'm sorry to go take your L. Now you can be working at Waffle House. But anyway, but everybody talking about, it's like first it was Penn State for Kalen DeBoer. Now it's Michigan. It's like these people, they sound like these people that carry a sign in the heat talking about the rapture is coming. That's what these people sound like. And, you know, because the thing is, I give people, like, I know about George Reister, right? He's a player at Oregon. And all I ever hear is, I ask people, why do you think he's going to leave? Oh, because of pressure. And he's from the Midwest. As someone who's been living in Phoenix since 06, that was my last base I was stationed at, and I got out and stuck around. There are more people who move from the North than the Midwest to the Southeast and the Southwest than vice versa. I've yet to meet someone from Phoenix saying, yeah, man, I'm going to move to Detroit. No, it's Detroit moving here, you know. And people get adjusted very quickly because, and they say pressure. Every big boy job has pressure. If you don't want pressure, why are you a head coach? That's pressure and all this stuff. And mind you, this is the same Michigan a couple years ago made Jim Harbaugh take a pay cut or they were going to fire him on the spot. Yeah, they did that a couple of seasons ago. And Harbaugh took the pay cut, and he couldn't wait to leave because he stuck it to him. And, but that's what people understand. There is pressure everywhere. They were going to fire Ryan Day of Ohio State if he didn't win a national championship last year. They were that ticked off of losing to Michigan. That's pressure. They were not going to fire Kalen DeBoer for losing to Auburn because that is not a healthy way to run your program or your coach. Yes, the fireball callers don't speak for us. The administration loves him. His athletic director's still there.
Right.
Why? And plus, you look online on Twitter, those Michigan commits are getting out of the commitments. You have to start over. Michigan, in my opinion, should be better off trying to get a younger coach, maybe a Tommy Reese or somebody like that, and build up. Because why give up two great recruiting classes? You got the support from Alabama money-wise. You got your GM who's locked in. Why give that up and go start over? And if you don't beat Ohio State, they'll can you anyway.
No, you make great points. And I agree 1,000% why. Everything you're saying is why I feel like he's not leaving probably anytime soon. Now, when I say anytime soon, could be a different scenario. Post year three or maybe, you know, year four, maybe. But like right now is way too soon. Like, for everything you just stated, that to me, the consistency, the security, and the stability that he has right now, personally, I feel like you'd be a fool to leave and go give that up for something that is not so much. And I'll answer your question. Why do these people, you know, act like the rapture coming, people that sit on the freeway like that? Well, I think what it is, Smitty, is he's a name that comes up because he's won where he's gone. You know, he does it the right way. You know, he's got a guy like Courtney Morgan in his corner. So, you know, coming with him are other good resources as well. And I think people view it as, hey, well, if it doesn't work out at Alabama, meaning like, hey, well, they know Alabama fans and the heat that would come if it's not great. I think they anticipate, oh man, Alabama's probably going to be, you know, quick to move on anyway. So this, they're just kind of like anticipating, like, oh, because I keep hearing that the common theme is, well, if he lost Iron Bowl, he would have left, or if he loses to Oklahoma, he's. And I just don't see it like that, because I agree with Chris Lowe when he came on our show and we talked about it. You're talking about a guy that signed up to take over for Nick Saban. I mean, this would be considered prematurely leaving before it really even got started. You know, I mean, he hadn't even had a full 3 years to really, you know, get more of his guys, his potential, you know, players that he thinks are a good fit for him in here and really develop those guys and get a chance going at really competing at their highest level possible with their system and culture. So I think it's way too soon, but we'll have to see, man. But I know you'll be busy tomorrow because you'll be like me, probably watching John Cena's final match, Smitty. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Hopefully it works out, man. Hopefully it's not. I hope I don't walk away disappointed, bro.
Hey, Chris, and I'll say this. For anybody out there who don't watch WWE, there's a guy who is the next big thing going to be on that show tomorrow night named Oba Femi, former Alabama shot putter. Sir.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to be all there.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, if you guys want to maybe get into WWE like me, Smitty, Chase, and others, man, tomorrow will be a good opportunity to get to see John Cena, who's known as the greatest of all time, wrestler's final match. But then, like Smitty just said, one of our very own, former Alabama shot putter. He goes by Oba Femi is his wrestler name. But he is, man, he's going to be special when it comes to the main event scene and for years to come, because he's only like 27. And he's cool as hell, man. His name's Isaac. And I knew Isaac when he was playing here, or when he was doing like track and field here. So it was really cool to see him doing his thing with WWE. Smitty, you have a great weekend, man, and hopefully we can.
You feel good, brother.
We can top it up next week about Saturday night's main event.
Hey, no worries. I'll call you next week. Hey, you guys have a great weekend.
Yes, sir. You too, bro. Good deal. All right, let's hit a quick timeout. We come back. We wrap things up on this free-for-all Friday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Before we hit that timeout, don't forget about our friends over at R&R Cigars. Make sure you guys check them out if you're looking for a place to watch the games, the playoff games, basketball. You got that going on. Head on over to R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa. Make sure you guys go stop on by there. They've got the best humidor in the Southeast. They got over 160 bourbons that you can try. Plus, they now are using the Yay Alabama liquor, so you can always try that there as well. Make sure you guys drink responsibly. And if you need to order something, go to their website, rnrcigars.com. Use that code Miller's Edge to get yourself a discount today. Again, that is code Miller's Edge right there for R&R Cigars. The official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Oh, and a toy drive. It's Christmas season. They're doing a toy drive, so don't forget about that. Go drop off toys if you're able to during business hours over there. They would gladly appreciate it, man. They want to help out as many families as possible as well. So help out R&R Cigars as well. Quick timeout. Be right back.
Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at HIMS.com/radio. That's HIMS.com/radio. HIMS.com/RADIO.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A pleasant afternoon, mostly sunny, the high 61. Fair tonight, the low 41. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, maybe a little light rain tomorrow night, the high 62. We go into the deep freeze on Sunday, windy with temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hey, real quick, we only got a few minutes left, so Heisman Trophy top 10. I wanted to show you guys this really fast. we've been talking about Ty Simpson, man. You don't see his name on here, though. Interestingly enough, man, a guy who at one point, really about a month and, you know, maybe 5 weeks ago, was being viewed as I think at some point, it might have been 1 week, he was a Heisman favorite, but we'll say he is at least, you know, top two, three, whatever. He ended up not even finishing the top 10. So you talk about quite the regression, unfortunately, man. I mean, you know, it is what it is. But you look at this list, Diego Pavia, a lot of you guys feel he ends up winning. It'll be interesting, man. Jeremiah Love is impressive, but I don't see him winning. I don't think, as good as he is, I don't think he's done enough to be, because remember, this is really like a quarterback award. I mean, if you're going to win it not being a quarterback, I mean, you have to do something like, hell, Ashton Gentry's numbers were insane and he didn't win it, right? So, but I do think, like, this year in college football, whether it's the quarterback class being a little weak, even like the Heisman finalists, it just kind of was one of those years. I mean, I'm looking at it, man. I feel like it ends up being Mendoza winning it, just because I always say this: when your team has success, there's a good chance. I mean, the individual success and accolades are definitely up as well. And with Indiana doing so, I know they, you know, listen, they beat Ohio State and their number one seed. I just personally think that's going to help give him a little bit of a push, because it's, you know, most valuable player, and people are going to say, oh, well, with Mendoza, you know, that drive he had, and that's going to give him a lot of some boosts when it comes to that. But we'll see. If Pavia wins, that'd be interesting. I know you guys said you think he wins it, but you don't want him to you don't want to see him in those commercials. Hey, I will say this: he's taking advantage of the platform that he has right now, and hey, he's probably able to maximize, you know, his profit from it and all that stuff. But Jacob Rodriguez, that linebacker is a dog, man. Damn good football player. You got Gunnar Stockton on here, Trinidad Chambliss, Caleb Downs finished ninth, and Haynes King, but no Ty Simpson. So very interesting. Real quick, because I know we got about 2 minutes. I never got to that video from this guy, so I hate to end on this note, but this was what this guy claimed is the deal when it comes to Kalen DeBoer in Michigan with the latest updates.
Michigan Wolverines are about to steal somebody's head football coach, and I believe it is one of three names. The first one, Kalen DeBoer. My people have told me, the people that told me about Deion to Colorado and other coaching jobs, and have not been wrong. And I know that people are like, why would you leave Alabama to go to Michigan? Because Kalen DeBoer reports, and my sources are telling me, he was living on borrowed time. That Alabama, if they had lost the Iron Bowl versus Auburn, were going to be parting ways with Kalen DeBoer. Had they not gotten in the college football playoff, there would have been some discussions about parting ways. And the reason why you just don't fire Kalen DeBoer, especially when you know he has mutual interest in other places, is because of the buyout. Because then you can avoid it, and it just looks like he left and couldn't hack it at Alabama.
I'm calling cap. I'm calling cap on that.
He's smoking something.
Yeah, here's my thing. What doesn't make sense is he claims, oh, I mean, it was known that Kalen DeBoer was on a short leash, and if he had lost to Auburn, then, dude, that's not, listen, Greg Byrne don't move like that.
He refutes himself by saying they wouldn't do it because of the buyout. Then he's not on borrowed time anyway.
That's a great observation, Jackson. You know, you're 100% right. To me, that's why I'm like, and also just so you guys know, he had claimed that Kalen DeBoer was going to Penn State as well, right? So I think he's just trying to stir the pot. That just, oh, if they didn't make the playoffs, like, would there, listen, there's a difference in, would there have been some heat from the fan base and definitely some pressure on Kalen DeBoer and staff if they lost to Auburn and didn't make the playoffs? Yeah, there would have been some pressure, some heat, especially from the fans. But I'm just telling you, if you listen to anything that Greg Byrne has said, there is no indication that at this point, right, only in 2 years, right, that he would do that. Do you guys not remember the quote that he had? He literally said, you know, with Coach DeBoer, he basically said, like, hey, you expect you're going to have some hiccups. You're going to lose a couple. That's already telling you, hey, man, like, you know, we understand he's not going to be necessarily the second coming to Coach Saban, but he's going to do a good job of putting us in position on a consistent basis, and we have faith in him from that standpoint. So this guy's video, in my opinion, I'm labeling that as cap. I don't believe it. I'm not buying it, but that was a video I was referencing earlier. So we just got to that. We got to get out of here. We got to make room. We got Wyatt coming up next. Big thanks to all you guys hanging out with us on this this whole week, man. It's been a fun one, especially for a week that we didn't have a game this week, man. We've been locked and loaded, and it's been really fun, really entertaining. So big thanks to all you listeners, all our guests that have been on the show. Jackson Reed, Chase Behind the Glass. Shout out to Chase. He graduated today from Mississippi State, and he got named Employee of the Month. So big shout out to Chase, our producer, man. He's awesome. We appreciate him being on our team and all the great things that he contributes to as well. Hope you guys have a great weekend. I'm going to stay real quick on the stream real quick, but I could close out for radio. I hope you guys have a great weekend. We'll talk Monday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. And shout out Dom for the super chat.